Hello and welcome to the Money Nerds Podcast, where owning a calculator, budgeting your money, and having a net worth is actually cool. I'm your host, Whitney Hansen, and each week I'll be chatting with inspiring people to learn their secrets to financial success. Now let's dive into the show. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. I have a confession. I have officially drank way too much coffee today and I am freaking wired. I remember having this conversation with one of my friends earlier and they said, oh, I only drink one cup of coffee a day. I seriously looked at them like, how the heck do you survive on just one cup of coffee? I don't know. Maybe I'm alone on this. Maybe I have some coffee issues. I'm not quite sure. But regardless, I am happy that you're here and really appreciate you coming back for episode number 2. So I'd love to hear from you. It's really important for the podcast and for the show's ratings and for me to get the feedback that I need to make this show amazing. So please leave a review on iTunes and subscribe to get the latest episodes. And frankly, us money nerds, we have to support each other and we've got to stick together. One of my favorite ways to show support for people doing kick-ass stuff with money is to shout out people who are getting great money wins. So if you would like to be shouted out on this show and you want to share your money win, do a hashtag money win and you can tag me on Twitter or on Instagram. Both of my profiles are in the show notes. So go to themoneynerds.com to get my Twitter and my Instagram handles. Or you can join the private Facebook group, Manage Your Money Like a Boss, and tag me in there. That's where I hang out quite a bit, so it's always fun to see people hanging out in there. Okay, so let's get into our money win. Kaylin Moody, her money win for this week was that she only bought coffee once this week. She normally buys 3 to 4 times, and how she did this was by packing K-cups, the little Keurig cups, and brought them to work with her, so that she didn't have to buy coffee all the time. Hashtag money win. That is such a killer way to go. So coffee is a big money budget killer. And so if you can find a way to cut down on that, you are truly doing exactly what you should be doing. So good job, Kaylin. That is so incredible. And I'm really proud of you for doing that. All right. Today's guest is Steve Stewart. Steve is a former DJ. Yes, a DJ turned financial coach and a podcaster. And you guys, this guy, he truly practices what he preaches. He is living, eating, and breathing everything personal finance related. And the advice that he gives to people is the exact advice that he follows himself. He writes at stevestewart.me. He podcasts at No Debt, No Credit, No Problems. Pretty cool podcast about how to live life a little bit differently. He coaches people through his online courses. So he has a budgeting course that is phenomenal. So I highly recommend you guys go check it out. He does one-on-one coaching where he works individually with people to help them achieve their financial goals. And his podcasting advice is awesome too. He's been a huge help for me trying to figure out how to actually create a podcast. And so he does that for other people as well. So if that's something that you're interested in, go check out his website, stevestewart.me. And not to mention, guys, he is 100% debt-free. Including the house. Yeah, that's pretty crazy. So in this episode, we talk about why his family decided to live a debt-free life. Like, what was that actual transition? Why did they decide to do things a little bit differently by society standards? He talks about how he's lived credit card free. Yes, credit card free for 8 years. That is impressive. He also talks about how to stay motivated with money, which is a really big deal for people. And then as a special little bonus, he talks about how he brings his faith, his religious beliefs into his finances. Pretty cool way to go. And I wanted to give you guys the update too, because since this podcast has been recorded, Steve and his wife did officially pay off their house. And if you want to check out that blog post, you can check it out on WhitneyHansen.com. Again, this is all linked in the show notes where you can read about his tips on last minute things to paying off your house, what you need to think about. So yeah, the freaking house, they paid it all off. It's very incredible. And after listening to this interview, I think you're going to see how. He is a very impressive guy, and I know you're going to love this episode. So are you ready? I am honored to introduce Steve Stewart from stevestewart.me. Thank you guys for joining us. Today I have Steve Stewart with me. I am so excited about this interview because, as you can see, Steve is a huge podcaster from his t-shirts in the back. If you're not, if you're listening to this and you're not watching the YouTube interview, go check it out because it's pretty impressive. So, Steve, thank you so much for being here and taking some time out of your busy schedule to chat with us.
Thanks, Whitney. Yeah, I'm just using the t-shirts to hide the mess behind the closet.
Smart idea. I like that.
No, actually, I use it to cover up the wall of records that I don't necessarily play anymore. But thank you for noticing.
Yeah. So talk to us about the records really fast. I got to hear this story.
Oh, goodness. When I was in high school, I started DJing for my local breakdancing group. And then it grew into where I was working a nightclub, a local nightclub when I was 18. And it just grew from there. I was also working in music retail. So, you know, you get promos, discounts, and that just made me, you know, grow my collection into this huge, you know, oh my gosh, when you move, it's a completely different experience. It's not just, you know, it's as if you were trying to carry, you know, a piano down the stairs 20 times. It's just amazing. So
what's the number? How many do you have?
Oh, I don't know. I've lost count. I have been selling it off over time because I just don't have time to play them anymore. But, yeah. You know, you got to keep them because it's part of history.
It's true. So let's just dive in, Steve. Give us a brief overview of who you are, what you do, and do you have a family? You know, just basic superficial stuff so we can get to know a little bit more about you.
Sure. Where do I start? I kind of grew up in my teen years in the suburbs of Chicago. Like I said, I started DJing and working in music retail right out of high school. Went in through a career through that company, which was Sound Warehouse, turned into Blockbuster Music and eventually into Warehouse Music. But it wasn't until recently, about 2007, that I really felt the need to get out there and do some financial coaching. Mm-hmm. And that's where, you know, I got hit by the Dave Ramsey bug. I realized that everything he was saying was contrary to all the little bits and pieces of information I've been hearing everywhere else. But I also found out that most of everything he said was right. So my wife and I, we had gotten out of debt. I'm sure we're going to talk about this in a little bit. Mm-hmm. We got out of consumer debt, and I had it on my heart to start coaching. So started a blog in 2007, started coaching 2007, and then 2010 launched a podcast called Money Plan SOS, which has just recently been retired. Yeah.
Okay. So what was the debt? How much debt did you have? What would it look like? Was it car loans? Was it credit cards?
The majority of it was car loan. We had gotten, my wife had gotten a car. We traded in for a new SUV. She loved her Jeep and she got a newer one. So the Jeep was roughly around $12,000 to $13,000 worth of debt. And we ended up paying that off in 13 months. It was almost 12 months.
Wow.
But yeah, when we bought that, I was like, no. That's it. We got to change. We made too much money to be that broke. So why are we borrowing $12,000-$13,000 on a vehicle? It wasn't a mistake. It was just a stupid way of doing it.
Right.
So I worked extra. Again, we'll go back to the DJ thing. I worked extra gigs that year, and where I could have spent money on the business and taking a little bit about, you know, how you would get money and you want to spend a little bit on fun, and then you upgrade some gear. Or, you know, you buy some more stuff for your business. Well, I decided I wasn't going to do that. I wanted it to go towards the debt. That's how we were able to do it in 13 months.
That's incredible. So did you have to convince your wife to get on board with that? Was that a tough discussion?
I think she's always wanted to be debt-free. She just never really made it a mission or a purpose. And the funny story is that when my wife and I got married in the year 2000, she wrote up a budget. She took a piece of paper out, said, here's our electric, here's our gas. You know, this is what we're supposed to be, you know, paying on the house. And I said, that's really nice, honey. And that's about it. I didn't want anything to do with it. And it wasn't until I realized what we could do with our money if we didn't have to pay these debts that I was like, okay, we're going to stop messing with I cut up all my credit cards.
Good.
You know, we finally got out of the car loan, paid off the little debts that we had, and we've been debt-free, consumer debt-free ever since.
That's so incredible.
It wasn't really hard to convince her to get on board. She's always been kind of a, you know, don't borrow too much money, pay off your credit card every month type of person. We just tweaked that a little bit more to get completely consumer debt free.
Gotcha. So do you guys still have credit cards today then?
I do not have a single, I haven't had a single credit card in almost 8 years now.
That's interesting.
It's all debit, cash, check, and hopefully soon to be Bitcoin.
Yeah, no kidding. You never know with that one. I admire that because I'm exactly like you. I don't do credit cards. I don't care about rewards. I care about my money in my bank. And if I get rewards, sure. But if not, that's not driving me. But for so many people, that is driving them. They're playing that whole points game. So how did you not fall victim to that or fall into that trap? Like, what convinced you otherwise?
I was convinced that the best thing for me would be pay for everything that I bought. and not borrow money on it. Whether it was, you know, the whole pay 30 days, you know, pay your credit card off in 30 days thing or not. I wasn't going to play that game anymore because I know what I could do if I would, if I had a credit card and I walk into a Best Buy, I'm walking out with a new MacBook. That's not good. Because I didn't go in there to buy a new MacBook. If I had gone in there to buy a new MacBook, I would have had the money to go in and buy a new MacBook. Right. So, you know, having that, I have a restriction on myself by not having a credit card because it's a debit card or cash or check, and that's all tied to our bank account. If the money's not there, I'm not going to buy it. Mm-hmm. If I don't, all of our needs are taken care of. We need shelter, we need food, we need lights and electricity, and that's the very basics. We can get by. Mm-hmm. So what do I need a credit card for? I came to that decision long ago. I didn't need it. And, you know, if I'm going to be coaching people on how to get out of debt, it'd be kind of stupid for me to say, you know, stop smoking, but, you know, just put the cigarette in your mouth every once in a while. That's okay.
Yeah. I love that. It's so true too. It's so true. Especially in the financial coaching industry, you've got to practice what you preach. I mean, really, it's important too. So thank you for doing that. For one thing, mm-hmm. we need coaches like you that are willing to lead by example. I think that's critical. So one of the things you talked about was that you were speaking with your wife about all of this, and you said, I mean, look at all the things we can do with the money if we don't have debt. What were some of those things that you guys wanted to do? What was your big bucket list items?
You know, it wasn't just bucket list stuff. It was just, we could do it. Mm. We were able to do it in such short period of time. We didn't have to sacrifice much because, again, I did the side hustle thing. You know, mm-hmm. I did the side gig to create more income to pay that off quicker. And, it, you know, we were purposeful before we started to get out of debt. Like I said, my wife had started, you know, she drew up a budget when we got married, but it wasn't until a few years later I realized, hey, that's a good idea. And I was on board. So we had already been wanting to be purposeful with our purchases, with our money, and know that we were able to get by okay without having to, you know, borrow money on a credit card or home equity loan. So we didn't sacrifice much. The bucket list, I guess, would be just to make sure that we were able to get by if something were to happen with our income, with our daughter. I could tell you a story about that if we have time. You know, we've been taking some really nice vacations the previous couple of years to the total of this one trip. But, you know, this is all budgeted for. It was all paid with cash or cash equivalents, you know, $7,000. Oh, that's a big vacation.
That's incredible. Yeah. And you deserve it.
When you're going to the mountains of Wyoming and riding horses that aren't just tame going down a trail, you know, there's just something about being right there in the mountains, no cell phone, no internet. And it's a magical place. And that's our thing. That's what we kind of focus on. That's our big treat.
Mm, I love that. That's kind of my thing too, is hiking, being outdoors. I found that, and maybe this is a common trend, I'm not sure, but it seems like people that pay off debt and live a very intentional, purposeful life, like you mentioned, they tend to actually love being outdoors. Have you found that to be true too?
I haven't really done that correlation, but now that you said it, I'm going to have to watch for it.
Keep an eye out. Let me know if it's true. I've been finding that trend more and more, so I am curious. I'll have to check into that one for sure. So you mentioned your daughter. How old is your daughter now?
She's now 14, and she's in high school.
Oh, man. How's it going?
Actually, it's going really well. She's been very shy and very cautious, but now she's starting to open up. It's very cool. She has her homecoming this weekend, so I'm really excited to see what she's going to do with her friends and hopefully not get into trouble, but yeah. She's a really good kid.
14 years old. So what kinds of things are you doing now? Because this is really important for people that are trying to get out of debt and showing their children that this process of how do you get out of debt, the sacrifices that mom and dad made, and what they're doing for their future life. How did you involve her in that process?
You know, that's a very important point to ponder, because when you think about it, our kids these days have many, 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 many more opportunities to see us spend money, mm-hmm. and very few opportunities to see us save money. You know, we've got, you know, if our checks are automatically put into our checking account, we might have money going into 401k automatically. They never see any of that.
Right.
You have to sit down and show them a piece of paper. It's a statement, and that's boring. So we really don't show her how to save money. I will say, though, that there, you know, we'll drop the hints. I'll say, hey, you know, how much of that you're going to give to the church this week? I'll be dropping hints, but I expect that she's going to make mistakes, just like we all did. And I think people have to learn from mistakes. Mm-hmm. Now, she knows where I stand on credit cards. She knows where I stand on debt. If she wants to go into debt for something, I'm not going to stop her. That'd be, you know, I'm not going to protect her that much. But the good news about us being debt-free, and we've almost got the house paid off. The good news about us being debt-free is we will be able to help her out if needed. Right. But she's got to experience that pain. Otherwise, she'll just go back to the stove and put her hand on that burner.
Exactly. Nail on the head, Steve. I totally admire that, because that is one of the things that you notice more and more is that kids are coming back and living with their parents. You know, they're 24 years old and they're still living with mom and dad. And that is such a problem. It's such a problem. So I appreciate that you are willing to let her make her own mistakes, but you're not going to micromanage her. That's a good takeaway, I think, for all the parents listening in today. So talk to me a little bit, too, about you're getting out of debt. You're living this really, society determines this life is weird. I mean, really, it's a really abnormal process. So how do you stay motivated, or how do you teach people to stay motivated when going through this process of getting out of debt? Because sometimes it can take a long time.
I'll tell you, that's another great question, because I hadn't thought about it this way, but I pretty much started a community because I have a podcast, and you're going to reach people that you've never reached before if you have a podcast. And for those who may not know what a podcast is, think of your DVR, but for talk radio. You know, it's an internet radio show, but it's time shifted, so you can play it whenever you want. You can pause it in the middle of a show if you don't want to listen to it at that moment. Maybe you got to go to work, listen to it on the way home, you know, the rest of the way. So with that, you know, you will find a niche of people who are just like you. And it's because the internet makes the world small. It makes it flat. And if there's 2,000 people just like you, you're going to find them, because they're going to be seeking other people like them. And again, the internet makes it small. So that community kind of helps keep me encouraged, because they're kind of like me.
Yeah.
They want to live a cash lifestyle. They don't want to play with credit cards anymore. They want to get out of, you know, out of debt. And what's funny is just about a year and a half ago, I surveyed my audience. And I had about a 3% response, which isn't bad. 3% is about the rate. And I found out that 40% of my audience that responded to that survey said that they were in what's called baby step six for Dave Ramsey's baby steps. Mm-hmm. Baby step six is completely out of consumer debt, fully funded emergency fund. They're saving for kids' college if they choose to. They're saving for retirement, and they're paying off their house early, just like me. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, I did that survey probably about 4 years into my podcast, so maybe I'll take the credit for them being at that point or not. but there's some really encouragement there that people who listened to my show were like me. Mm-hmm. And so that's really encouraging. And then we've got a Facebook group and things like that. So really, you know, online, social media, it gets a bad rap. But if you're in some good groups like that, they're really going to help keep you encouraged. And you get to give and encourage them as well.
I love that. It's so, so true. One of the things you kind of touched on too is that importance of, and yes, you should take some credit for, if you're constantly giving to that community and you're constantly helping these people and showing them and inspiring them, give yourself a pat on the back. You deserve some of that credit for sure. But I'm super interested in, I can tell you do a lot of the mental work. I can tell that you have worked hard to get your mindset where it is today. So what kinds of things did you do to get there? Was it just following a community? Was it being podcast and listening to podcasts all the time? What'd you do?
You say I did a lot of the mental work. I'm trying to think of what you mean by that, because again, it's not that difficult when you make the decision. It's hard to get out of debt. Mm-hmm. I'm not discounting that at all, but to make that decision, it's probably harder to stick to it. Mm. And that's where the encouragement helps to keep you going. But there was a thought I was gonna say, and now I've forgotten it. But the mental, obviously, if I'm teaching it, if I'm podcasting and writing about it, that just keeps me involved. It's just like an exercise regimen. If you just do it every day, it becomes a habit, mm-hmm. and you grow in that. If you study for school often and regular enough, it just becomes a part of you. So I don't know what you mean by the I had to do the mental work. It was a decision. Yeah. Well, I will say though that I learned that my faith is also in line with getting out of debt.
That's
because
important.
Yeah, you know, God says that, you know, the borrower is slave to the lender, and there's a lot of scripture that says that debt is just not a smart thing to do. So it makes sense for me not to have any debt because it also falls in line with my faith.
Hmm. Yeah, I do love that. So going back to the mindset thing, I guess what I'm meaning there is, I don't know about your upbringing. We all have crazy upbringings, I'm sure. I grew up in a very dysfunctional family that had very limiting beliefs, scarcity mindsets, all kinds of that kind of stuff. And so for me to overcome that mindset and really start to change it, it took a lot of behind the scenes work, right? It was constantly goal setting. It was accountability groups. It was all kinds of interesting things to get me to the point where I'm in today. And so I was curious if you experienced anything like that as well early on in your days.
You know, I think I grew into the culture that we're in now, which is very consumer driven. And I was able to watch that as I grew up myself. And, you know, my parents were very simple. We didn't have a lot, but we never went without anything. So that's a good question. I would say that it's the constant, you know, battle against marketing that we have to go through in our culture today. That's the hard part. That's the mindset. I mean, if you watch commercials and you look at what they're saying, and do this, watch one of those commercials where they're pitching a new medicine and close your eyes. My daughter and my wife did this the other day. They closed their eyes and they heard all those disclaimers. You know, this will cause bowel irritation. It's like, oh my gosh, what are they talking about? And you open up your eyes and it's, you know, an old couple on a cliff looking over the sunset. It's like, that's not, you know, that doesn't relate. So, you know, think about what they're trying to sell you. And I'm not saying that all marketing is bad, because we need products, we need services. But What are they promising you? What are they selling you? Is that really what you need? Or are they just trying to play on our emotions to get us to buy their stuff over something else? You know, make wise decisions when you do buy something.
I love it. So, so true. And I'm going to do that next time I see a commercial. I'm going to do the eye cover thing and see how it works out. I'll tweet
Lipitor.
You.
And let
you know. Like, sold. So I'm curious now, what are you saving for now? What's the next big purchase for you?
Well, we're not really saving. Right now, we're at the very tail end of paying off the house. We're going to be done by Christmas.
Okay.
We're actually going to pull a little bit of money out of our emergency fund to pay off the last few thousand, because our emergency fund isn't going to need to be as big if we don't have a mortgage.
Exactly.
So we're able to just scale. It's going to have to be revised when we get out anyway. And then after that, we'll start to save for that big vacation. My wife's going to take a big trip in the summer next year.
Awesome.
And those are two of the big things there. And then, of course, we've got my daughter's prom. You know, we got homecoming this weekend, prom after that. From what I understand, dresses are really expensive these days.
Yeah, they truly are. It's true. But yeah, they're, and she's got to get her nails done and hair done and all of that different stuff too.
Yeah, so. But without a mortgage, we can cash flow that stuff. I mean, that's one of the big things.
Exactly.
When we laid out the plan, okay, we're going to save for my daughter's future. Okay, college is going to be expensive. But if we don't have a house payment, duh, there's $1,100 a month. That's just the principal and interest we pay every month for this house. That's going to be gone. We're going to be rent free. $1,100 a month can go a long way for tuition and stuff when she gets into college. And we still have a few years before that.
Yeah, no, $1,100 a month for most people is life changing. So absolutely, that's important. Mm-hmm. I love that. So this is always fun. I always have to hear, what kind of car do you drive today?
I actually have a there's a great story behind this.
Let's hear it.
All right. There's a guy, as a friend of mine named James Kinson. He has a podcast called The Cash Car Convert.
Oh, okay.
And he's all about paying cash for good used cars. And he loves to shop for them as well. We became friends. And every once in a while, he posts, you know, hey, he lives in Dallas. Mm-hmm. He goes, hey, here's a car that I just saw on Craigslist. And, you know, it's not a bad deal. And I was like, you know what? That kind of fits the need. I needed to get a car. So I was like looking around. And I was like, that fits really well with what I'm looking for. He called me up. He pre-qualified me for this car that he wasn't selling. It was somebody else. He just happened to see it. But he just has to make sure it's the right car for you. So I ended up saying, yeah, I think I'd like it. And he went and test drove it, got it checked up, told me what was wrong with it. He went way above and beyond. And then he's like, you know, I think we could offer this much instead of, you know, what they were asking. I said, okay, give it a try. He did, and the guy took the deal. Nice. So now all of a sudden I'm thinking, holy moly, I got to go down to Dallas and buy this car now. I live in St. Louis.
Okay. Oh, man.
So I never seen the car. I'm going down to buy it. I'm bringing cash with me. What it was a Honda Civic. Mm-hmm. It only had 120,000 miles on it. And they were selling it for $3,800. I got it for $3,400. That's $3,400.
Nice.
Yeah. Now, here's the catch. It was a 1998 Honda Civic, but it only had 120,000 miles on it. That thing's got a long life ahead of it, even though it has a long life behind it already. And I've been driving it like crazy, and it's been wonderful. So I'm basically driving the beater, but it's a gently used beater, and I expect to get at least another couple of years out of it. And even if I didn't, mm-hmm. I could almost sell it for what I paid for it.
Exactly.
So no car payment, just a cash car. What more could I need?
Exactly. I feel you. I drive a 2001 Toyota Celica, and that thing, it's a great car, and it's going to be driven till it dies. I can promise you that.
Yep.
But how did you, I mean, you're I mean, that's just so weird, you know?
It is.
You're debt-free. You're almost mortgage-free, and yet you're driving a 1998 Honda. You clearly don't care what people think at the stoplight, so props to you on that. But what, I mean, talk to me, because that's such a mental shift for so many people.
Well, I don't know. I know the story was going to be good. That was
it's
for
a
sure.
Great story. But
there's more to it, but I won't bore you with the details. I was looking for a used car, and we had actually $6,000 to $8,000 we were dedicating towards getting that vehicle. But then I saw that, I was like, that's a no-brainer. And also, that tied into it. The decision also tied into something else. We had wanted to replace the windows in our house. Mm. The house is 28 years old. Yeah, and the windows are getting a little leaky. So we were saving up to actually replace the windows with cash, of course. We'd gotten a bid. It was $12,500. We thought, okay, we'll do half of them this year, half of them next year. So that's $6,000 for the windows, $6,000 to $8,000 for the used car. Those are the two big savings goals for this year. When I ended up paying only $3,400 for this used car, we had more money to put towards the windows. Mm-hmm. And someone from our church had said, hey, you need to get a quote from this guy. He's done work for us. He does windows. Had the guy come and do a quote. He gave us a quote for $7,500 for cash.
Wow.
We had $7,500. So instead of getting half the windows done, we get them all done.
Yeah.
Check it off the list. Used car, check. Windows, check.
That's perfect.
Done. Pay off the house. That. Coming up.
Yep. I admire that you're driving the quote unquote beater car, because at the end of the day, I mean, really, who cares? If it gets you to point A to point B, that's all that you need, right? I mean, we get so, our self-worth sometimes becomes so wrapped up in our material items, but it's just not what life is about. So I admire that about you. So way to go on the beater car.
Yeah. And you know what? It does everything I need it to do. It gets me from here to there. I've actually used this vehicle to drive to conferences that are out of state. You know, I drove back down to Dallas for Podcast Movement. I've done a couple of side gigs. I still DJ on the side. You know, I put as many miles on this car in the last 5 months as the previous owner would put in a year. So I've been taking these big trips. It still runs. It's not falling apart. Hello. Where's the downside? Okay, it's not as shiny as my wife's car, but her car is even 10 years old. So
yeah. What
can I say?
I love that. So you totally disagree then with the concept of if you buy a more expensive car, it's going to be more reliable.
It depends on the type of car.
Thank you.
There's a couple of vehicles that my wife liked, but then over the past couple of years, we've seen some of the repair and maintenance that they needed, and she's kind of lost her fervor for them.
Yeah.
They're still sexy. I still would love to have a Camaro. That would be awesome, but it's not what I need.
Right.
It's a goal that's at the bottom of the list. If I can get to the bottom of the list, awesome. Mm-hmm. But until then, our priorities at the top of the list here are, you know, things for my daughter, paying off the house, you know, taking these vacations, which I think are a little more immediate than driving a Camaro.
Love it. Love it. Love it. So it's all about putting your priorities in order and focusing on those completely.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So what advice can you give to someone who is, maybe they're trying to get out of debt and they might be $100,000 in debt. They might feel super overwhelmed. What advice can you give them to show them that, you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and just share some words of inspiration?
Well, I could have them do a little work and they'd see that I'm right. But I think if I just told them, then they'll know it's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Every single debt, let me start over again. I can encourage them to letting them know that they already have a debt-free date.
Mm-hmm.
There's already a day that they're going to be debt-free. All they have to do is stop borrowing money. If they stop borrowing money, then those credit cards will get paid off. The car is going to get paid off. I mean, a six-year car loan gets paid off in 6 years. Credit cards will get paid off in 17 unless you pay extra, and you should. A house payment. If you have a house with a 30-year mortgage, guess what? That gets paid off in 30 years. You already have a debt-free date. It's up to you to decide if you can take those extra dollars and put them towards your debts, or just go and blow them on fun stuff, which is cool. But I decide to plan the fun stuff, make it reasonable, and then the extra dollars that you've got, you know, you've already got all of your necessities done. You got some of the niceties. You've got some fun in there. I've got this extra money. What do I do with it? Well, I want to get out of debt. There's another goal.
Hmm.
Pay off your debts. Get out of them ahead of time. You accelerate that debt-free date. And once you've got your debts paid off, you're not borrowing money anymore, your paycheck is all yours to do with. And there you go. And you keep living purposeful like that. You keep saving for the big purchases like that. You'll never fall back into debt again, except maybe in a mortgage. But we don't need to discuss that. It's, you know, cars and vacations and windows for the house, things that you could easily, you know, where does a window company come into financing?
Yeah.
But they will sell you financing.
They will
pitch you financing. So, you know, it's not their business, not least the one that I'm hiring for. It's easy to fall back into debt. You just got to make the decision and start planning ahead to say, we're going to need to replace a roof, air conditioner, whatever. And, you know, an emergency fund, of course, can help with that as well.
Mm.
You've got a debt-free date. Accelerate that debt-free date. And if you don't make it all the way, hey, you're still better off by trying and getting some of it knocked out.
Love it. Steve, thank you so much. One final question before we part ways. Where can people go to learn more about you?
They can go to stevestewart.me. That's Steve, stewart.me. That's where all of my stuff lives. They can check out my budgeting course. They can contact me for one-on-one coaching, or they could even learn how to do a podcast if they want.
Awesome. I love it. Are you pretty active on social media as well?
Oh, yes, very much so.
Awesome.
You can find me on Twitter at SteveStewartMe.
Perfect. Steve, thank you so much for sharing your awesome stories. I really appreciate it. It was very entertaining, and I know this is going to inspire a ton of people. So thank you for your time. I know you're busy, but I really do appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Whitney. It was fun.
Okay, so what'd you think? Wasn't Steve's story so amazing? I was so inspired by this interview. I took a lot of really awesome notes. And one of the things that really stuck out to me was when Steve said, we made too much money to be that broke. Dang, that is so powerful. I know I'm not alone, or at least I hope I'm not alone, when I say I have felt that way before. I have looked at my budget, I've looked at my financial life, and thought, what the heck? Where's all my money going? I know I make more than this. And I've been there, and it's just something that, you know, if you're there currently, you can turn this around. It's not a forever thing. So by taking action, creating a budget, and figuring out where do you want your financial life to go, you can break that habit and you can stop feeling that way. So I really hope you've got some value out of this episode. I know I did. If you found some really cool nuggets or some insights and you want to tweet about it, go ahead and tweet and tag me in those and tag Steve as well, because it's a really fun way for us to see that you are appreciating the episode and that you are really resonating with the content. It means a lot to us. And speaking of that, what also means a lot to me is if you subscribe to this podcast and you leave a review. That's my way of gauging whether or not people are getting some value from this. So I really do appreciate it. If you have enjoyed this episode, don't forget to share it with your friends and make sure that you are also sharing your money wins with me by doing hashtag money win. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate your time and I hope you have an awesome day. I will see you guys in the next episode.